capitalism here. That is priority number one.
That's what I signed up for.
That is it. I'm big on making money, and I'm big on making shareholders money, actually.
Making shareholders money.
That is my priority in life. I think it's my purpose. I think it's my calling.
Yeah.
And I would be disappointed if I didn't maximize shareholder value.
Yeah, from what I've gathered, that makes sense.
Yeah. Glad you're on board. Well, we are live with the one, the only, Ani XO. Ani, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I'm really excited to talk to you and learn more about everything about you, because you make such beautiful music.
Thank you.
I'm not blowing smoke, because it's incredible. So here, all right, here's what I'm curious about. How did this all get started for you? How did you get into music?
It's a great question. I've been making music since I could talk. My mom always tells me that I was singing my ABCs before I could talk.
Yeah.
She would, like, hear me down the hallway, like, just trying to get them out, and I was just, like, making the sounds of it, I guess. But my mom was a music major in college, French horn performance. My grandma was a music teacher. My Aunt Kim is a music something or other.
Yeah.
I think she music directs at a church, kind of like I do.
Okay.
But that was kind of the start. Like, I've been surrounded by music my whole life. And then got really into Taylor Swift when
nice.
I was about 7 years old. I heard Our Song, and I went home, and I was telling my mom that she needed to find the Slamming Screen Door song, because I was like, I need to hear that again.
Yeah.
And I just, like, could not stop thinking about it and the lyrics, even though I was, like, seven and had no experience with heartbreak, or I guess that's not really heartbreak, love in general.
Yeah.
And then when I was 13, I was begging for a guitar. And, like, I learned guitar as a means to keep singing.
Yep.
So, kind of started picking that up. Didn't really do much with it, but I did theater and choir all throughout high school.
Nice.
And then went through my first major heartbreak after senior year of high school. And that's when I really started writing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it. So, long and short of it, we can thank Taylor Swift for all the Ani XO.
Basically.
Cheers, Taylor. Thank you for that.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I love her.
Oh, she's the best. She is the best. Okay, so I love that. So you started getting into, like, singing with Taylor Swift and mm-hmm. songs, and then guitar came a few years after. Did you try and write anything before the heartbreak, or was that really when you just started writing right after that?
You know, I wrote a few things, like, freshman year of high school, but I was way too embarrassed.
I get that.
I was just talking to Hunter last night about this, that I used to really hold back in my songwriting because, like, my mom's a pastor. I've been a nanny my whole life.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't write this because the people are going to hear that, and I don't want them to hear that about me.
100%.
So I think, like, after high school was when I started to just not really care
yeah.
and just kind of write from my heart and Worth Something. That song really was, like, the first time that I just sat down and, like, let it all out.
Yeah.
And it was very healing, so.
I can imagine. And the honesty comes through in the stuff you release now. I know what you mean about being, those songs you're scared and they're kind of, like, half-assed almost,
mm-hmm.
right? Where you're not telling your whole truth or being mm-hmm. your full self. I know what you mean. And honestly, kudos for figuring it out that young, right?
Thanks.
I mean, in high school, it's not that, like, age is the most important thing in making music, but, like, even right after high school, so many people are still scared of, like, mm-hmm. coming out of that shell and being an honest songwriter, right? And the
yeah.
best thing to do is to write what scares you.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, and I don't, we can cut any of this out that I'm about to say, but
cool.
coming from, because I came from, like, a religious upbringing too. Mm-hmm. And so I imagine that makes it even harder to say, like, because you don't want to criticize the community that you're in.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though there may be, like, you know, something that you think is worth criticizing.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
So
mm-hmm.
that is really brave. Brave is the word that I was looking for in all of that. To
Thank
be
you.
Honest in your songwriting that quick. So Worth Something was the first song you said that was worth a damn, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many songs did it take you to get there? If you had to guess.
Let me think. So I think the first song I wrote out of high school was this really stupid, genuinely really stupid heartbreak song. Like, any single cliche that you can think of was in there. And then I got scared again. And then I started writing again back at when I was in college. And then the first song I wrote was These Four Walls.
Oh.
That's... So I guess that was maybe actually the first real song that came out. And then I stumbled through probably 5 or 10 songs throughout that year until I got to Worth Something. And then once Worth Something came out, the floodgates kind of broke open, and then the rest of everything came out.
Yeah.
So These Four Walls was the only, like, substantial thing that I wrote before Worth Something.
Nice.
And then everything in the middle was probably, like, 5 or 10 really goofy choruses that just, I don't know, part of that was, like, I was coming out during that time.
Okay.
Before, like, between These Four Walls, which I wrote, like, March 2020. It's, like, right before COVID. Oof. And then March 2021 was when I wrote Worth Something. So
okay.
It's pretty much a year. And in that year, I came out as gay and, like, transferred colleges and moved to Minneapolis. So I think, like, being able to be authentic with myself, too, really helped with that. Because it felt like I was holding something back.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And being able to tell your true story and not having to mask, for lack of a better word. Right?
Yeah, yep.
Mm-hmm. Is that you're just able to, sorry, I'm making big booming noises. you're able to actually tap into something that's honest and real. And before that, I imagine you probably felt this way about your songwriting. Before you came out and were, like, living your authentic life, you probably felt like there is a layer of facade to this, you know? Like, I am going, almost like going through the motions of, I know how to write a song. I know what boxes I need to check to make this good, but it doesn't make me feel anything when I write it.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now your music is flush with emotion. It is a bouquet of emotion. It is incredible. I just...
Thank you. That's so good.
Yeah. Well, how long did it take you to realize you were good?
I mean, I still struggle with that. You know, I told... Like, I think I was talking to someone about this yesterday. We were doing this... My day job is at a church. I don't know if you knew that.
I vaguely knew that.
It's like a cool church, which is helpful.
I like that.
We have couches and we sing Taylor Swift sometimes. But you know, salaried music.
Yeah.
Is very helpful.
For sure.
Where was I going with that? Oh yeah. I was telling someone the other day that, like, sometimes I'm singing and I'm like, oh, that's right. This is my main instrument. Like, this is what I do. Cause sometimes it just feels like a means to getting things out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I struggle with that a lot because I always am comparing myself. And, like, every time that we're in the studio recording, I'm like, I'm flat there. I'm flat there. Even if it's, like, the best vocal take we've gotten, I'm so overly critical of myself that I'm always wanting to do better. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I don't know if I, like, I know that I'm good enough that I dropped out of college to pursue music. But past that, like, I feel like there's some level that artists always have to question themselves. Otherwise, you're never going to be pushed to get better.
100%. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's that thing of, like, oh, I don't get scared to go on stage anymore. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you're going to be done soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is almost over for you.
Yeah, if you don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no nerves.
Yes, you're not feeling nothing. You got I mean, drugs aside, right?
Right.
Yeah. But no, I that's impressive. And I mean, even the ability to acknowledge. Right, I think there's a difference between, I'm bad with words. That's why I started a podcast.
And why you write songs.
And why I write songs, yeah. But no, there's a difference between being, like, self-critical and being that, like, Dunning-Kruger effect on the other side of, like, people that think they're good at things that they're just not good at. Like, people think they're smart, right? But being, having that ability to be self-critical and probably leads you to a lot of kill your darlings moments, right? Where you cut, there's probably stuff on your cutting room floor that other songwriters would love to have, you know?
Yeah, I'm always, yeah. We were just rewriting a verse the other day that I wrote, like, can I move this closer?
Yeah, you can, absolutely.
That I think I started it, like, in the era of writing Worth Something in My Girl, so about, like, 3 years ago. And I was telling Hunter that it feels like my songwriting now, which is weird because it was, like, I was very far from that. But even that song, like, we were cutting things and putting things in that I was just like, this is too cheesy.
Yeah.
Even though, like, 3 years ago, I was like, this is the best thing I've ever written. Like, so, yeah, there is a lot on the chopping block that I honestly, that song in particular made me realize how much growth there's been in the past few years. Like, Yeah, like cutting things that I at one point thought were my best work.
That's incredible. I mean, that's there's a comedian who talks about it. I don't know who, and I'm going to butcher their quote, but they're like, all right, find your best joke, start mm-hmm. your set with that, and then try and build from it. Like, keep finding your best joke and then start your set, because you get the big laugh, and then, you know, you got to kind of build them back up. So, yeah, I think there's something to be said about that process of being able to go through things with a critical lens, even mm-hmm. stuff you were in love with 3 years mm-hmm. ago, and having that understanding of, this isn't as good as it could be now, because yeah. I'm better at it. Yeah, because you're growing, and you keep making music. And you, okay, we've been rambling. Not we. I'm not going to drag you into my ramblingness. 10 minutes we've been talking. We've been talking for 10 minutes, and I haven't even talked about your EP that you just put out.
Yes.
Which at this point was, I'm so bad at time, like 4 or 5 months ago?
Three
months ago.
Just December, January, February, March. Yep.
Yeah, just 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. This thing is incredible.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I mean, you've already alluded to some of the songs that are on it. Right, These Four Walls, which is a beautiful piece of writing. Let's just start there. We already talked about it. So from the outside looking in, everyone out there listening, These Four Walls is like a love letter to your childhood home. Mm-hmm. And it's such a cool concept. And it's like, this is what shaped me, and this is how I feel about it now looking back, right? Mm-hmm. And did you... So what I'm curious about is, when you're coming up with these song ideas, do you sit down and start writing, and then, you know, you're just writing whatever, and then halfway through you're like, oh, this is about my childhood home. That's what I felt like writing today. Or did you have an idea of, like, I want to write a song about my childhood home, and then you try and kind of work from there? What is your process like?
I guess it kind of depends on the song. For These Four Walls, it definitely was like, I was sitting in my childhood room. Like, we had a pond in the backyard. My parents moved out of that house like 2 years ago now. So I wrote this before they even moved out. I'm very dramatic. I was writing it about like leaving for college and coming back. I changed some of the words on the new recorded version, like the hug my mom and dad and tell them that I love them more.
Yeah.
In the original version, I had hug my mom and dad and tell them that I'll miss them more than these four walls, mm-hmm. which I think like shows that it's more about leaving for college than about leaving the house.
Yeah.
So that was the essence that I wrote the song with, was leaving for college and coming home. But then, like, when they moved out, it changed the entire meaning of that song, and I changed the words to match how I was feeling about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that one definitely started with, like, looking out at the pond in my parents' backyard and just, like, realizing how much has changed.
Right.
And how, like, there's a lot of memories there that I'm not going to get back. Like, they'll just be memories.
They're just memories. They mm-hmm. they just live in your head now. Mm-hmm. It's so wild how places, like, senses of place just alter your perception of reality, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
It's nuts. Did your parents move into it at least, like, you know, not a cookie-cutter townhome or something?
Thank God. Good. They actually moved from a cookie-cutter suburb home to, like, a really cute house in Minneapolis.
Oh, there you go.
They upgraded for sure, but yeah. It was very sad.
It's still sad. Yeah. It's still your childhood home. And do you, I might be projecting here, but do you ever like take people when they're in your life and go like drive them by the homes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, all the time. Yeah. I'm so dramatic. Like, I'm like, that's where I grew up.
I get it. That's why we write songs.
Exactly.
That's the type of people we are. If they're going to be in our lives, they have to deal with it.
Yep. I'll still drive past, like, this. It's literally just, like, a suburban house, and I'll be, like, crying. Like, that's where I grew up. It's like, that could be anybody's house.
I know. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. I used to take... And tell me if you do this too, because I used to take my fiance, like when we first started dating, we would end mm-hmm. up in, I grew up in Coon Rapids. And okay. So I would take her to like drive by the house that mm-hmm. I grew up in, which they've painted now. And I was pissed. I was mm-hmm. like, I want to go talk to you. You can't paint that. That's not a blue house. What's wrong with you? And then like the places that I would drive her past beyond that was like, that's the gas station I bought cigarettes at. She's like, this is the most boring tour I've ever been on.
Yep. I literally... Well, when Abby and I started dating, my parents were still living in that house, but, like, I did the whole Rosemount. I grew up in Rosemount,
okay,
Minnesota.
Yeah.
I did the whole tour Like, that's where my first drug deal was. She's like, do I need to know that? Like, why is that crucial?
Because I want you to know who I am and what made me here.
Where I came from, okay?
Exactly. You need to understand the roots to understand where I am now.
It's like, this is where I got in my first car accident. It's like, okay, don't need to remember that.
This is the weirdest tour I've ever been on. And I didn't even sign up for it. I'm just trapped in your car.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous, but it's fun.
Yeah, it is. It is fun. And
for
then
the person doing the tour.
Yes, for the person doing the tour, it's cathartic. There's something about it because, in a way, this is gonna be weird and maybe a stretch, but it's a little bit like songwriting. But you're just kind of projecting out of the person you're with because you're like, this is my past and you're my present. And
look at where I was. Look at it.
Look at this, and now we can come together about this. And they're like, get me out of this car. Yeah. I appreciate it. And so, and stuff like that is also fodder for songs, I imagine, right? Are you the type of person that goes through the world and like sees songs everywhere?
Oh yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yep. My mom and I last week, she was like, wanna go on a walk through our old neighborhood? I was like, sure. And then we were walking, I was like, this would be a damn good song. Like right? All the things that have changed and like I looked at my old house, and they just got a new garage. No hate to them. We're friends with the family. Yeah. But, like, they got a new garage door, and they didn't paint it the same color that we had it painted, and I was so mad.
Valid.
And I was like, that's a song. So, yes, yeah. I absolutely am.
Yeah, there's so many emotions you can mine just on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And it comes back to that thing of, like, if you're not paying attention, you don't care anymore because there's songs everywhere.
Yeah,
exactly. You can find them wherever you look. Okay, so I've taken us down a rabbit hole about houses, but that it's just fascinating because your songwriting definitely struck me as the type of person who's very aware of their surroundings, right? Like you're very astute and where's the best word I can think of just what's going on, and you see things that people might miss, and then you're able to draw some sort of emotion about that and out of that. And I think that that's just beautiful, and that's the magic trick of kind of the Ani XO songs, really.
I mean, yeah, I think it's like, I'm like a highly emotional person, so if I did not have this outlet, like, Lord knows what I would be doing, because, yeah, I take on a lot of how people feel and a lot of, emotions throughout the day that are around me, and it's just so cathartic to just sit down and write about it. And let it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, okay, and then also you said you're a music director at a church.
Yes.
Which is like, Ani.
I don't talk about this often. Ask all the questions.
We're gonna, because when I was growing up, the millennial church experience was very much, you had a white dude in his 40s who played acoustic guitar and called himself the music director. And you do not fit the stereotype of what my brain goes to when you tell me, you know, a church music director. Right. So what is that experience like? What do you kind of do there? What's the behind the scenes on that?
Yeah. So I basically at Spirit Garage is the church I work at. They're set up really differently than almost all churches. It's like an offshoot of Bethlehem Lutheran Church Twin Cities, and they're like just completely different worship than pretty much any church I've ever been in. I grew up as a pastor's kid, so I've been like well versed in the ELCA world, which I think is why I don't feel as uncomfortable in church spaces, because like my mom was a pastor, she worked at a big church, but I don't think I necessarily got any like serious religious trauma. It was more like the messaging I was hearing from other people about religion, not necessarily the people in my direct religious circles, which is really helpful and is really a buffer for like the actual like hateful words that were outside when the people inside don't believe that. So I at least knew that most of what people were saying to me was bullshit, and could just be like, shh, my mom's a pastor and she doesn't think that, like, be quiet. I still don't know if I consider myself Christian, but you know, whatever. But day to day, I do like making charts and coordinating musical volunteers. I make all the set lists for every Sunday.
Yeah.
We have like open mic nights that I host. We have
awesome.
We play at Open Streets.
Oh,
we
do you?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
That's pretty sweet. And first off, shout out to your parents for doing it the right way.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
And I'm not trying to rag on religion. I do that enough in my songs. Well, the problem it never is the religion itself. Right. It's like you said, it's the people that are outside that aren't paying attention or even really reading the book that imbue their own bullshit into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone else has to deal with it. So kudos to your parents for keeping insulated. It's probably not the right thing, but, you know, somewhat padded from that. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you had that. And also kudos to you for being like, my parents say you're full shit, so you're full shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. My mom's badass. Like, she really, like, her sister is gay. So I grew up with, like, queer folks around me.
Yeah.
And knowing that, like, my aunt was singing at a church and my mom was the pastor of a church. So I was like, there's really nothing wrong with this, guys.
Right?
Like, I don't know why we're making such a huge stink about it.
Yeah.
She's singing at church and God is not striking her down with lightning. Like, get over it. So I don't know. And people at my church, too, a lot of them say, like, I don't believe in the Bible, I believe in Jesus, which I think is interesting, because the heart of it, Jesus was a rebel. Like, fucking hanging out with sinners and shit.
Jesus was legit.
Yeah.
Jesus was legit.
Pretty much all other bullshit can go away.
Exactly.
But Jesus, kind of cool.
Yeah. Again, I'll butcher a quote, and this is a stereotypical, like, you've probably seen a meme of this, and you know what I'm talking about. It's, I want to say it's Gandhi, maybe it's not, but it's like, I like your Christ, I don't like your Christians. They're so unlike your Christ, right? And that, I don't know, that kind of seems to be, to boil it all down, to sum it all up, that's it right there.
Yeah.
He didn't have any bad ideas.
No.
They were pretty solid.
They were pretty good.
Pretty good.
I was listening to do you know who Brittany Broski is?
No.
She is like a TikToker and YouTuber and has a podcast called The Broski Report that I was listening to this morning.
Great name.
And she happened to be talking about religion, which was also really random for her to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like, do you guys realize how fucked up it is that there's literally a version of the Bible called the King James edition? He just got to choose what was in there.
Right?
I was like, oh, good point.
Yeah, there's so much of that. I mean, even like the Catholic Church that just chose, hey, these extra books go in.
Right, exactly.
These it's ones like... fit. All right, whatever. I'm no biblical scholar, but I don't think you get to just pick and choose.
Right, something about that feels wrong.
Something about that does feel wrong. Okay, but I have again taken us down a rabbit hole. But the church thing, I imagine that, because one thing also that a lot of musicians struggle with, and you don't seem to be struggling with, is the juggling of the creating art and also managing the music business, which is its own animal.
Mm-hmm.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but if I had to guess, I would imagine doing that work at the church probably made it a bit of an easier transition to deal with the music business, because you're already dealing with admin type of stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So it's like, it kind of feels like training camp for the music industry, which is really funny. And especially at a place like Spirit Garage, where like the music is put really, I don't know if it's at the center of the ministry, but it's very important to the people there. So yeah, just like has helped me like a lot with AniXO.
You were definitely
shenanigans.
Yeah, you're definitely ready to hit the ground running. I get you. Musicians are the misfit toys of society.
For real.
For sure. I mean, we are we are what we are.
It's true.
There's a reason that we chose the jobs that have us out till 2 a.m. and don't make us get up early. You know, there's a reason for it. And also just more creative, more emotional individuals is just a bit harder to manage than somebody in a suit and tie at an office. It's just different. Like you said, it's a different thing. So that's huge. And also you're doing it. Would you consider AniXO a solo act or is it a band?
You know, I've been struggling with that the past few weeks.
I get
because,
it.
Like, it is a solo act because I write the music and it's all from my personal experience and I am the face of it.
Yeah.
And I fucking love my band. So it's like, I don't know.
It's hard. I was curious because, well, and you, as you know, the thing is, it's always going to be your vision. It's always going to be your creative project, and you're always going to be leading the way, and it's always going to be most important to you. Mm-hmm. And then there's the people that are in the band, and they are there as a supporting cast, and they might love you,
right?
But it's never going to it's just, it can't. It'll never matter to them as much as it matters to you.
Right, right. Because it's not, the songs aren't about their personal experience.
Yeah.
Even if it resonates, it's not going to resonate in the same way.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. so it's just kind of hard, and you're trying to take care of them as almost like employees.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But,
and I do a few solo shows here and there too. So.
Yeah.
I guess it is.
It is.
It is the Ani XO solo show, but
the brand
is the brand, but the band, man, I love those motherfuckers.
Well, and they do such a good job of articulating your vision, which was kind of my follow-up question. When you go in to create this stuff in the studio, are you coming in with, like, here is how I want these drums to go, here's how I want the bass line to go, or do you bring a skeleton of a song of just, like, you know, chords on an acoustic guitar and lyrics and build it from here?
That one.
That one?
Yep, I bring my guitar and I say, that's what I have.
Yeah.
And then Hunter says, what do you hear? And then we go from there.
I get it.
And a lot of the times we've played them in band practice too. So, like, we're working on a song right now called Asshole. That's my favorite song I've written.
Ooh.
And I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
But that one we're kind of working on building out in band practice, and I think that's going to shape where we take it in the studio.
Yeah.
So, it kind of goes back and forth
that's,
what we do.
It's kind of nice where you can, yeah, you get the luxury of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You get to build it out. Well,
yeah.
All right, speaking of songs that you love, I made you drag a guitar all the way here.
You did.
Yes. Any interest in playing a song for the
of
people?
Of course. I would love to.
Yeah. Take your time and set something up.
She's the kind of girl you write songs about, familiar like a painting you've seen. Right out of a book, she's all you can think about, charming in ways I can't be. I can't get mad when I hear her talk about him. I know he treats her right. To call him lucky is a gross understatement for what he has in his life. She's got eyes of gold and a voice like honey. I thank her for breaking my heart. I'm one of the many who falls right in love with her, naive enough to think it could work. She's got the kind of beauty you see in a movie and think about all of your life. She's who everyone wants to be, making friends easily, someone you want on your side. She's shamelessly forward and honestly I can't tell if it's me or the wine. I swear that she's staring a little too hard, and I think that it might be a sign. She's got eyes of gold and a voice like honey. I thank her for breaking my heart. I'm one of the many who falls right in love with her, naive enough to think it could work. And oh, it could eat me alive, this feeling I'm holding inside. Tell her, but I know that would fuck up our night. She's riding shotgun, singing my favorite songs. I can't look in her eyes. She's making it hard to breathe, flirting so carelessly. Maybe it's just cause she's high. She's got eyes of gold and a voice like honey. I thank her for breaking my heart. I'm one of the many who falls right in love with her, naive enough to think it could work. Well, I'm just naive enough to think it could work.
Jesus Christ. Okay. sorry, Jesus. That's beautiful.
Sorry, Jesus. Thank you.
Yeah. Wow, that's called Madison?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, we're going to take a second.
Have you heard that one before?
No, I don't think I have. Is that out somewhere that I missed?
No, we're, okay. We just got done with it, so.
Okay, I feel better. So
that
Hunter's
will be
just,
next up.
Just been hiding it from me.
Yeah, apparently.
Apparently.
I'll have some words with him.
Well, I will, too. Damn, okay, that's a beautiful song.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's so, I've been there. I know, you know, that that feeling. Wow, you are an incredible writer.
Thank you.
You are an astoundingly good writer.
Thank you.
I promise. I'm not trying to blow smoke. I'm trying to find the words to say, because that is, so many people have been in that situation and, mm-hmm. and felt that way. And like, how do I? Man, I don't want to ruin this. You mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. I don't want to ruin it, but also I do want something more.
Yeah. Yep.
And God damn it, Ani. yeah, just that's a beautiful way to express. All right, well, Ani, we got to take 1 second and thank some sponsors here.
Oh.
Yeah, we got sponsors.
Look at you.
We're the real deal.
Hi, Grant Glad.
Real deal. And we will be right back with some more Ani XO.
I loved talking with Ani. They were so fun and so cool, and it was so fun to just nerd out about songwriting with them. But you know what I don't love? I don't love having to buy a car from a car dealership, right? You go there on Saturday, you waste your whole day, and then you're playing these weird games with the car salesman that you don't even entirely understand, right? But maybe you still need to shop for a new car, and you don't have the time for all of that, and maybe those past experiences with shady dealerships and salespeople have made you just avoid starting the search for your new vehicle altogether. Because Car Concierge gets it, and that's why they exist, all right? Car Concierge, they're going to work directly with you to understand what you're looking for in your ideal vehicle, and then they'll take the search on for you. That is right. You heard that right, okay? Save endless amounts of time and questions by working with Car Concierge, who will search, find, negotiate, and ultimately deliver your dream car directly to you without you having to step foot in a car dealership. So visit their website at gocarconcierge.com or call 612-662-7788 to get started today, and go ahead and tell them that I sent you, all right? Sounds good. Back to the show.
So we are back with Ani XO. I'm glad you're here. Thanks again for coming here.
Of course, I'm glad to be here.
Oh, I'm glad you're here.
Oh,
yeah, look at
that. Throw in the hole.
Yeah, you know, get a couple of them. Couple little puns going. All right, So thus far in your musical journey, mm-hmm. you started out, Taylor Swift brought you in. Mm-hmm. We stand Taylor for that.
We do.
And then you started working at the church, writing songs,
mm-hmm.
dropped out of college to do the music thing.
Mm-hmm.
How did your parents feel about that?
They were excited for
really?
Me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They're very supportive. I think I have a very unusual situation.
Yeah.
Where I was 3.5 years into college.
Yep.
Literally, like, it was the semester before my last semester. And I was like, hey, guys, I don't want to do this even a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I was really, really gifted in high school at, like, academics. Like, I was a straight-A student. And then in college, just, like, fell off. Just, like, C's and D's and just barely sliding by. And I, like, found, I was a social work major. And I liked it enough because I like people, but I was like, I can't commit my brain to something that I'm not fully passionate about. And music is like the one thing that I'm so passionate about that I would do any job that involves it to keep doing it. And when I phrased it that way to my parents, they were like, yeah,
you're in.
Don't do something you hate.
You know what? Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Parents of Ani XO. Fuck
they're
yeah.
awesome.
They are awesome. That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is, oh, I would love to meet them. They did such a good job.
My dad especially is really, like, not only just, like, supportive of me, but, like, as passionate about my music as I am, which is really sweet because he's not that kind of person usually that gets, like, super invested in something, but he just finds this whole thing fascinating. Yeah. Like, after our show at the Amsterdam, he came up to me and was like, Ani, it was like I was standing in front of a jet engine of sound. And I was like, awesome. And he'll just text me, like when Red Eye came out, he goes, Red Eye's been on repeat since 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
Yeah. Well, and he should be excited because it's Red Eye is incredible. Everything
you've
made is incredible and it just keeps getting better. And so what's the next this is the world we live in now. That's so insane. You just put out the EP 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. And here I am asking you, what are you going to do next? Like, you just put a lot of work into that. But I just, I'm half asking because I know you've been working your ass off and I know there's more coming.
Yes.
So what?
There is.
Well, yeah. What do you got coming up?
Well, there's a lot of songs. A lot of songs. I don't stop writing. Hunter, who we've mentioned Hunter 100 times. I should say he's, first of all, one of the best people in the world. Second of all, my producer. Third of all, also Grant's producer.
Yes, shout out to Hunter.
Fourth of all, also plays keys in my band. So he's just like a multifaceted king, basically. Yeah. Why was I talking about Hunter?
We just love Hunter.
But I feel like there was a reason.
Oh, I was asking, what are you working on?
Oh, yeah. He keeps saying, like, you need to stop writing new things that you're so excited about because we have to finish the songs you've written. Mm-hmm. So that's the goal right now, is to, like, put the finishing touches on a few songs that have been in the works for a while and get those out.
Yeah, and just get caught up on everything.
Yeah, hopefully an album.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. You got do you have a goal, ETA?
We're hoping to have something substantial out by, like, end of the summer, early fall.
Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Personally, I think that's the best time to release records.
I agree.
Because that's the best time that I like to consume them,
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
the fall. Walk around in the fall, especially an Ani XO record. Oh, yeah.
They're always fall-coded.
They are fall-coded. Mm-hmm. Are you a seasonal music listener?
Yes.
You have albums that you're like, this is for winter, this mm-hmm. is for summer.
Absolutely.
Yeah? What's your go-to fall tracks?
Fall tracks.
Or albums or bands, you know?
Folklore and Evermore are fall to me. Those are always in the rotation in the fall. Hosier. Is that how you say that?
I think...
Hosier?
I'm probably wrong. I thought it was Hosier, but I don't know.
You know, however he says his name.
However he says his
the,
name.
The singer of Cherry Wine.
Yeah.
Listen to a lot of his music in the fall.
That's fitting.
Yeah. And then, like, I also get really into, like, Cigarette Daydreams kind of sounding music in the fall. Just, like, or Vampire Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, anything that sounds like I'm going back to school.
That's what it is.
Is fall music.
Yeah, mm-hmm. anything that sounds like you're waiting at the bus stop.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Or waiting on something big to change is what it feels like in the fall.
Yes. That's a better way to put it. Waiting on something big to change. Yeah, that's a good album name.
Let's write a song about that.
Waiting on something big to change.
Oh, in the future, too.
Yeah.
We have a song.
We do have a song. I didn't want to spill the beans on it.
Oh, we can.
Yeah?
Do you want to spill the beans on it?
I mean, I'll let you tell the story. I'm just honored to be a part of it.
I mean, I think Grant Glad is a phenomenal songwriter, so I asked him to be on one of my tracks, and that'll hopefully be on that project.
Oh, I'm excited. Yeah, and so is my ghostwriter that I had write my verse for me.
Oh, hush. Yeah, Casper the Friendly Ghost, aka Grant Glad's brain.
it was seriously so cool to do that. I guess I want to talk about it a little bit because that was the first time anyone had asked me to do like a feature on anything or like, hey, come into my world and write a verse based on kind of what I've already created. And it was super fun to work within that structure and try and get inside the Ani XO brain a little bit.
Yeah.
And like, okay, what can I do that's gonna fit here that still is me being me, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not just trying to be somebody else for the sake of it. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I actually owe you like three more songs that came out of it. Because and I haven't recorded them or anything, but I wrote them.
That's awesome.
Because once once I was living in that world, it was like, okay, this verse is done, but I have all these extra lines and now these have splintered off into other things that I'm excited about. So I don't know. What I'm saying is it's a trick to writing songs, I guess.
Yeah.
Just kind of writing over someone else's track.
My Girl, that's kind of how I did that. I was super inspired by My Boy, by Billie Eilish, and was like, how do you write a song like that? And I think, like, that's where a lot of good music comes from, is, like, taking a song you like and thinking, if I was in that situation, what would my song sound like?
Right. Yes, and kind of, and then you get, it goes through your prism almost and comes out with your perspective on it.
Yeah.
And that's why we're still able to keep writing songs about love.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm. That's what's so cool. You mm-hmm. know, there's only so many themes, only so many notes.
Yeah.
And they still keep getting unique. Yep. You know?
They do, somehow.
It's so cool. It's a magic yeah. trick. I don't mm-hmm. know how it works. I mean, we have an idea of how it works, but...
Yeah. But it, sometimes it just happens.
Sometimes it does just happen.
You're right. It is a magic trick sometimes.
It is a magic trick. I don't know. I mean, I know... The thing about it is that I always say is, like, the magic comes from putting in the work. And mm-hmm. you've been putting in the work. Like, are you a daily writer?
It depends on the season.
Oh, yeah.
This time of year, yes. Yeah. Like, songs just start kind of flowing in March for me. I don't know why.
Like sap from a tree.
Yeah, literally. Every single song I've written that's been good and made it onto a record, for lack of a better term, has been written in the spring through summer. And then winter, I just go through the experiences that are the catalyst for the spring writing. Yeah. So I always am so bummed in the winter, and I'm like, I can never write a song again. I suck. And then in the spring, I just, like, don't know what happens. I just, like, something changes, and I can just sit and write whatever I want. It's bizarre, but it works.
Hey, everyone's got their process.
Yeah.
Hey, you just got to let them marinate. Let those experiences marinate.
True.
When you're in the winter and you don't think you can write a song, are you still coming up with the ideas in your voice memos or writing notes yeah. about, like, a line or two? And then
yeah.
the springtime is when you're able to kind of go through them and mm-hmm. figure out a home for them.
Yeah, and I think a lot of my songs, I think that most of my songs that are my favorites are kind of the ones that I've sat down and just closed my eyes and they just come out.
Yeah.
In, like, one hour or less. Yep. But there are songs that, like, Asshole kind of has ruminated since, I guess, the summer. Like,
wow, yeah.
It's been in my notes and I've been playing with the idea for a long time, and just finally the end came to me.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know what you mean about the songs that come to you in that short period of time mm-hmm. end up being, like, your favorite. And then isn't it so funny when the ones – this is not to say that Asshole is going to be one of these songs, but sometimes the one that you spend so much time on and mm-hmm. so much work on, you put it out and people are like, it's good.
It's fine.
You
yeah.
know, it's fine. Or, you know, you don't even – maybe that doesn't even make it to getting out, but you show it to somebody or play it to them and they're yep. like, that's good. And they have that look on your face. You know the look. Mm-hmm. The look mm-hmm. of, like –
Sure,
that's good. That's good. Right?
Yep, yeah. yep.
And you're like, I spent so long on this thing.
You're like, you can't tell me this isn't the best thing you've heard, okay?
Right? Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I imagine you don't run into that very often, because everything that I've heard from you has been incredible, and I'm excited for the new stuff you have coming out.
Thank you.
Where can people go listen to the EP that's already out?
Literally anywhere. Search up AniXO. There's a space between Ani and XO. Don't forget that. People do that a lot. And they find the wrong person. But anywhere, if you search that up, you'll find me.
All the places. So mm-hmm. the Spotify, the Apple Music, Bandcamp, wherever you go and listen to music, mm-hmm. you can listen to Ani XO.
Precisely.
And here is the one. What about social media? Where should they find you? What's the best best places?
I would say Instagram and TikTok. I keep most up to date. And those are Ani XO Music, both of them.
Easy enough. Mm-hmm. Keeping it simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Ani does not make it hard on you. You can go follow them at everything, at Ani XO Music, TikTok, mm-hmm. Instagram, all the places. Search Ani XO with the space for Spotify or wherever you stream music. And then here's my high horse that I'm going to jump on, and I am going to assume the role of the preacher for the next 60 seconds.
Maybe. Love it.
Streaming music is cool, and streaming music does matter. We all do it. We know it's easy, and it is an easy way to access artist music. That said, caveat, asterisk, okay? Spotify does not pay nearly the amount that they should for the amount of blood, sweat, and tears that gets poured into this art. So the best thing that you can do to support a musician like Ani, to make sure that this is something that they can keep doing, is to go to the shows, buy the merch, mm-hmm. Buy, you know, if there's anything that's ever out on vinyl, buy the CD, buy the merch, and then when you're on those social medias, make a comment, make a like, share it with your friends, do all of the things. All of those little things matter so much. And I'm not saying that to say, don't stream the song. Stream the song. I mean, listen to it wherever is easiest for you to do it. But the best things to do to support are sharing Ani's art with their friends, going to a show, buying merch. Those are the things. Those are the real things that keep this a viable opportunity.
keep the ship floating.
Keep the ship afloat.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't let it sink, please.
Don't let it sink. It cannot sink. It's not sinking. Because also you're up for this. By the time this comes out, this will have already happened.
Mm-hmm.
But you're up for an award this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Two of them.
Two of them?
Mm-hmm.
I know the Loring one. What's the other one?
They're both. It's two separate awards in the Loring Awards thing.
Okay.
So it's. I gotta pull up the thing because I'm not even really sure
what's
going on. But I'm up for Album of the Year.
Awesome.
And Upcoming Musical Artist of the Year at the Loring Awards.
That's so cool. That's so cool. That's going to be fun.
With Finnick on both of them.
With Finnick, which I will be talking to Finnick later today. And if you're listening to this, you're like, that Finnick episode was out. Or I don't know which order I'm going to put these things. I don't know what I'm doing.
I don't either. I just show up here.
Yeah, right. Maybe Finnick will be out next week. I don't know. Either way, just know that's coming too. That's so cool. So what does that entail for the Loring Awards? Like, was it something you had to submit for, or did they find you?
It's kind of like a Google form situation.
Okay.
And you can fill it out for yourself, or you can have people fill it out.
Cool.
In my case, it was a little bit of both.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, you submit your name into the pool, and then they listen through all the things, and then, like, if you're nominated, I guess, I don't really understand the process. I guess you get nominated, and then they choose the official nominees.
Okay.
So, I got a DM from them that was like, do you consent to being nominated for this?
Awesome.
And I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then, there's like limited space in the place, so you had to answer if you could be there in person, and then they picked performers off of that. So I'll be performing Look Me in the Eyes with Daphne Jane, which
nice.
Is exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, this is the first of many for you.
It's like tiny, I keep telling people I'm going to the tiny Grammys.
The tiny Grammys?
The mini Apple.
The mini Apple?
Grammys.
That's what they should have named it.
Honestly.
Let's be real. They should have called it the mini Apple Grammys.
They should have. It's a cool thing, though. It's for specifically for Minneapolis queer artists,
awesome.
Which I think is a really cool idea. It really, like, gives a platform to queer folks.
Definitely does, and is a necessary thing. And you're so authentically you. And I love that about
Thank
you.
Thank you. I try hard to be
you. Oh, yeah. It's just, it's impressive. And I think it's a big part of why your music is so impressive. And I'm just happy that you're doing this. So
thank you
so much.
I'm glad I'm doing it too.
Throw
it in one more time.
That's a good one. But I mean, honestly, just thank you for putting in the work and doing this and making your art for people, because it does matter. It does.
Yeah.
It makes the world a better place, and you're leaving it cleaner than you found it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And with that, I mean, again, you got that guitar.
Do
you want to play us out with one more song, maybe?
Yeah. I'll do Worth Something.
All right. I love it. We are with Ani EXO. I'm glad you're here. You can find them on all of the streaming. Again, it's Ani space XO. And, go stream. What was the name of the EP? I keep forgetting.
Allergic to Dogs.
Allergic to Dogs. Thank you.
Which I actually am.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It's horrible.
That sucks. Do you like dogs, though?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Never really been around them.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I've maybe pet a dog, like, 3 times in my life, because I just will go into anaphylactic shock and die.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's, you know, so it goes.
It is what it is. Oh,
my roommate just asked me this morning for the first time, does it make you sad that you're allergic to dogs? And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you don't.
Don't really know anything else.
Yeah. I have a small rant about dogs.
Go ahead.
Do you want to hear it? You want to hear my thing about this?
Do you have a dog?
I grew up with dogs. Now I have cats.
Okay.
And I do love
changed
dogs.
Man.
Yeah, I'm a changed man. My fiance, she won me over to the cat side. I do love dogs. I have a big problem with dog owners who think that they're entitled to bring their dog absolutely anywhere just because they own a dog. It's like, you made the decision to buy a dog.
Mm-hmm.
That was on you. That's not on society.
Yep.
I don't know. Like, not every patio needs to allow your dog. Not every single brewery needs to allow your dog. Not every library needs to allow your dog. I mean, again, service dogs, things like that, different
story.
But people with pets, I don't know. Don't buy a dog.
That,
if you can't take
I
care
agree
of it.
With you. And I think it's hard. That is a hard thing for me. Because, like, I walked into a coffee shop the other day.
Yeah.
First of all, don't go to In the Loop in North Loop if you're allergic to dogs. Literally, have you been there?
No, I haven't.
You walk in, yeah, and it's just pictures of every dog that's ever walked into the room. God. And there's, like, 6 or 7 dogs.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn it, I just paid for 3 hours of parking to do work here, and it's a dog cafe. Of course.
Of course. And they don't advert, because, I mean, you're in the minority if you're not, yes, if you can't be around dogs. Right. So they're not putting it up there. Like, mm-hmm, hey, if you're allergic to dogs, it's not don't in the headline. It's buried in the fine print. Yep. After, yeah.
And they'll say dogs allowed, and it's like, how allowed?
Yeah, how allowed?
Is, like, it your brand, or are they allowed?
Yeah, or, sorry, now we're going, because people with dogs bring their dogs everywhere, regardless, yeah, of what's going on. Like, you could not even know there's going to be a dog there, mm-hmm, and someone just brought a dog, because, oh, I just brought Jerry, he's with me for the day, I brought him for the car ride.
Yep. Yep,
I'm dog angry here in for cars.
You. I'll hug Hunter, yeah, and I'll sneeze.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's so fucked up. Oh, and I'm allergic, man, to cats. All animals with fur or feathers.
Really?
Yeah. It's bizarre, but, you know, so it goes. I like babies, so.
So, okay. That's a good segue into this song. what are you going to play for us here?
I'm going to play Worth Something.
All right. Take it away.
Sunshine, spent my days outside. Now I spend my days checking my phone. Used to see the world through wide eyes, fantasized by my life, but no one heard my dark and deafening cries. So I wait for someone to tell me I'm stand one more minute alone. Got my heart broke a few times when I thought I liked guys. Now I'm told that my love is a crime. Lost some friends and did some damage. Can't be fixed by bandage, 'cause nothing heals a hurt deep inside. So I wait for someone to tell me I'm worth something. And I'm afraid of what's gonna happen when they don't. 'Cause I can't stand one more minute. Sometimes the smiles are most broken inside. So I wait for someone to tell me I'm worth something. Stand one more minute alone. No, I can't stand one more minute alone. I can't stand one more minute alone. I can't stand one more minute.
Ani XO, everybody, just incredible. That that music is wonderful, and they are an amazing person. And you just love seeing those two things go hand in hand, right? So go check them out. Instagram, Spotify, TikTok, all the places. Ani space XO. Go give them a follow. Give them a like. Do all the things. Go to the shows, right? Just anything you can do to support them, to keep them doing music and making the art for us, because that is what it's all about. And one more time, just want to thank our sponsor for the show, Car Concierge, right? And again, what they do, what Car Concierge does, it's such a cool company to be sponsoring with, because I really believe in this service, right? So if you're trying to shop for a new car and you don't have the time, right? And maybe those past experiences with shady dealerships and the salespeople make you just not even want to start looking for a new car, right? Car Concierge gets that. And that's exactly why they exist. Car Concierge is going to work directly with you to understand what you're looking for in your ideal vehicle. And then they'll take the search on for you. That's right. So you can save endless amounts of time and questions by working with Car Concierge. We'll search, find, negotiate, and ultimately deliver your dream car directly to you without you having to step foot in a car dealership. So visit their website at gocarconcierge.com or call 612-662-7788 to get started today. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Glad you're here. New episodes drop every single Wednesday. That's really all I got. Car Concierge, Ani XO. Go support them. Thanks for listening to the show. Like, follow, subscribe, whatever the things are. Tell a friend about it if you like it. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. And that's all I got. Bye.